Hi, I'm Lindsey Graham, the host of Wondery's American Scandal. Our newest series looks at Aaron Hernandez, a star football player who shocked the world with a brutal crime. But behind Hernandez's violent actions lay a much larger health crisis affecting the entire sport. Listen to American Scandal on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Watch What Crappens and Reality Gaze Christmas Crossover Spectacular. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Say hi, Ben.
Hi.
That's Jake over there. Say hi, Jake.
Hi.
And that's Matt over there. Say hi, Matt.
Hello, sugars.
Okay, you guys take over. That was my intro. Go. You guys tell them what's going on. I don't
You're
need to control everything
hours.
This time. You see? I've learned. I've grown.
3 years already, so now it's the fourth one, and, right? This is number four for us.
I think this is number four, right? Yeah. I think the first one we started, the first one we did was
Holiday,
the Netflix Holiday. Then we did, I think, the one with the Pioneer Woman pertaining to peppermint, et cetera. Like there was a peppermint issue in a town. Mm-hmm. And then last year was the Lindsay Lohan one. And then this one is this year. We are recapping the seminal cinematic masterpiece known as Ladies of the 80s, A Diva's Christmas.
That's if Jake wrote it. It would be called Ladies of the 80s,
It's like a paper you write in grad school. They all need colons. There's a title and then a subtitle.
That's true.
And I don't really think that we should just be calling it Ladies of the 80s without doing this.
Oh, God.
I'm the of 80s.
America's so bad, I can't remember.
I wrote down all the lyrics.
You guys, what a song.
Living minute by minute.
Out of my head. Living minute by minute. I mean, that's
because
so sad, isn't it?
We're
just living by the minute.
What I really like about this theme song, first of all, I woke up with it in my head. That was the observation I've been waiting to say since we got up together in this room here. I've been singing this at the song since I woke up. But it also like reminds me of Alvin and the Chipmunks because like it sort of has that kind of generic like Saturday morning cartoon like lyrics, right? Because I think that one of the lyrics is we're the ladies of the 80s and they're putting on a show.
Yes, that is one of the lyrics.
It's very like watch out, here we come, like we're the chipmunks, you know?
Did anybody write the lyrics down?
I sure did. I'll get them up.
Thank God.
Okay, so just real quick. So this is a crossover episode. Reality Games, Walter Crappens. We're talking about a Christmas movie. So welcome to Christmas week. I hope you all had a wonderful Christmas
week. Yeah. We're on vacation right
Hanukkah.
Now. So that's why we did this earlier for y'all.
Yes.
So that way, when you're dealing with your mother-in-law or your family, or even if you hate your children, whatever, you can just listen to us instead and have a better time.
Go in your back room with your pet. Because they're the only one who understands you at this time of year.
Yes, and whoever you like best between Watch What Crappens or Reality Gaze, we'll have a contest. I'm just kidding.
Oh!
Whoever you want to, just go to our Patreon.
Hunger Games.
It's available as a video. These are all videos through our Patreon.
Yes.
And also audio. So we'll be coming at you all week. We never know how long these are going to go. We warn you now. They're offensive.
Oh, lovely. And lovely, Ben.
They're meandering, and they're not going to make much sense. And we talk over each other a lot. So to all the listeners out there, thank you for being with us. Good fucking luck. Let's get to some lyrics, shall we?
It's like Christmas dinner at your house. People talking over each other.
Yes.
Exactly. So as previously stated, so we are recapping the Lifetime movie, Ladies of the 80s, A Diva's Christmas. And there is this wonderful musical montage right in the middle, which really should have been right at the top of the
Totally
movie.
Agree.
So it's the song, the lyrics, the full lyrics. There actually are some verses, and the lyrics are, the past is in their rearview mirror tonight. Living like the best is still to come. Groups back together and they know what they like because ladies just want to have fun. Sassy when they talk, sexy when they walk. They're younger than they've ever been, which is actually impossible.
Let's just stop for
a minute.
Wait, hold on, pause. We need to analyze what's going on here. first of all, no one is younger than they've ever been. That's just humanly impossible. Mm-hmm. Also, sassy when they talk. The problem with this film is they weren't very sassy when they talked.
Weren't.
They were just kind of like, good to see ya. They're like, ladies are going to have some big trouble. And they're like, good to see you. I'm eating pretzels.
I know, there was a warning. What?
That was overpromised for me. That there was the overpromising sassiness and fighting was such a disappointment for me.
It was not there.
Yeah, I didn't really understand the vibe of this movie. So either way, but they're younger than they've ever been. Okay. And they're going to strike a pose so everyone knows Diva's making history. They're the ladies of the 80s, living at large, minute by minute. They're the ladies of the 80s. It's their world, and we're just living in it. And then the best part.
And they're putting up strings of popcorn.
Yes. All eyes on them, no matter where they go. They're the ladies of the 80s, always putting on a show.
Okay, now, Matt, we were all texting each other about, like, what a jam this song was. And then Matt was like, I can't believe they didn't give credit to KT Osland for her song 80s Ladies. So then he sends us this music video of 80s Ladies. This is how these lyrics began. We were three little girls from school. One was pretty. One was smart. One was a borderline fool. I'm like, this is cute. Ladies from the, their hair is going to get bigger and smaller, and they're going to get, they get old and one of them dies. Spoiler alert. Yeah. Why would you send that to me?
And spoiler alert, KT Osland died of cancer recently.
No, COVID.
She died of COVID?
She died of COVID during the thing, yes.
Oh my gosh, bless her heart.
But that that music video, sweetheart. I'm, you know, a country queen. That music video is like part of every gay boy who loved country music in the 80s experience, because it actually leaned into the drag queen, where I feel like this movie hinted at drag, like literally this slap montage is just taken from RuPaul's Drag Race. This is a challenge in RuPaul's Drag Race.
Is it really?
Yes, they have a slap challenge. Remember that?
But like without the camp factor.
But without the camp, yeah.
That was the one moment of this movie that I truly enjoyed. I was like, I thought when there was like a double, when Morgan Fairchild does a double slap, I was like, I actually laughed. And I was like, oh my God, this looks like it could be a funny movie. I'm just going to say this right now. Of the four movies that we have recapped for our holiday extravaganza, this was by far the very worst. This was the worst. I've never seen. Okay, these movies in general, the genre is like, they're terrible movies. That's like part of the fun of it. But this was like beyond terrible. I've never seen a movie with such low stakes. There were no stakes.
Did they spend it on all the talent? Because the lighting was terrible. The camera work was terrible. I don't know where they got this woman who played the ingenue.
Okay, we're gonna have a lot. I have a lot to say about her.
We have a lot to say.
I have a lot of questions about her backstory.
Yeah. Yes.
And his backstory that make no fucking sense to me.
Yeah. Also, like, how do you have a holiday movie set in Los Angeles that never has the obvious moment where, like, I can't believe it's actually snowing on Christmas in Los Angeles? They don't even by the way, they don't even bother having fake snow come down in their movie. Like, they just don't even.
The movie starts with that.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Boone.
I don't even know what the series, the movie within a movie or episode within an episode was about. I don't think it was important to them. They just created it for the women to fight, and they didn't really fight.
They didn't fight. Here's what I was telling Ben. I think that what happened was they were like, oh my God, we should do a thing where we get all these divas from the 80s. They'll all be in a soap. It sounds hilarious, right? The pitch is great. They're all on a soap opera together. They have to work together, but they really hate each other. How is this going to work? This should have been hilarious. And then the guys they hired are great. They're Golden Girls writers, for fuck's sake. You know?
Yeah.
You know, I looked them up. And so it should have been like that. I think they turned in the script and then Lifetime. And yes, I am blaming your asses because you guys think it's okay from every movie to be about women being chased down by Rob Lowe and stabbed to death or whatever.
Ooh, hot.
But then God forbid you have some women getting bitchy with each other. Because I know that Lifetime had a damn meeting where they were like, you can't have them be mean to each other. People watch Lifetime for good feelings. No, they don't. They watch it for terror. I have a mother.
I have pitched
to Lifetime. I have a mother.
I got to say, to validate you, I have pitched to Lifetime and literally was told that.
Wow. Really?
Yes. They need to get along. We don't want anything too mean. And I went, this is Christmas.
I have to say that, you know what, in some ways this movie felt like it was a script that the writer pulled off the shelf and was like, let me adapt this to be a holiday movie. Like, it was originally
supposed to be something about
soap stars coming back together, maybe like a pilot. And instead it's like, oh, let me repurpose this to make it into a holiday movie, because the holiday stuff was so wedged in there.
Right.
Like, it was really not about the holidays at all. Like, maybe we should have a scene about mold cider.
What's your first note, Jake?
That was my first note, was it seems like this was repurposed for like Mother's Day. Or just about a soap, like them getting together, and the Christmas aspect of it was kind of like the icing was glazed on.
Right. Well, just put a cone on it for a couple of weeks because this dog's been neutered. Okay.
I realized, I don't know if this is appropriate to say or not, but in this day and age, I haven't watched a movie that's made in 2023 that had just white people. Because this movie did.
That's true. There was nobody from the 80s you could have chosen that wasn't blonde and white. I mean, the only minority in this was fucking What's Her Bones with the darker hair.
They had Hollywood Tonight reporter, and he was stealing every scene he was in.
Donna Mills' daughter.
Donna Mills' daughter. I love Scott Evans. I fanned him once in West Hollywood. He is very hot.
You're thinking the wrong Scott Evans, sweetie.
No, that's his name, Scott Evans.
His name is Scott. Can I tell you something? Scott Evans of this movie, he once followed me on Instagram, and I was very excited. And then he stopped following me, and I was very sad. Yeah. Yeah, I was like, wow, my content is that bad that Scott Evans unfollowed me.
We're not talking about Scott Evans, Chris Evans' brother.
No, we're talking about Scott Evans.
Scott Evans,
Access Hollywood.
Because I wrote it in my thing, like, where's Jack Hay in this movie?
Exactly. Marla Gibbs. Like Anna Marie Horsford
Gibbs. Anna Marie Horsford. Ugh.
Or like, there's like just any number of people that they could have chosen, but Jack Hay would have been actually a wonderful one.
I think this movie felt sterilized.
Maria Conchita Alonso.
Just put Charo in anything at this point. Like, I don't even know if that goes with the casting, but I follow her Instagram and she's amazing. So.
I mean, this also may speak to also the diversity issue of like the evening soaps of the 80s too, right?
That's true.
Yeah, that is true.
But it's not like there was no but. I mean, to just be like, well, that was the 80s. There weren't black people then. I mean, what the hell? I'm not saying saying that, but I'm saying
that. Diane Carroll did.
But Diane Carroll died. I was going to say Diane Carroll.
Yeah, Diane Carroll died. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it was a thing.
Well, Jake just caught up.
I'm devastated.
What about Diane Kruger?
You'll leave her alone. Diane Kruger is still with us. She's going to do the Ladies of
Germany.
don't talk about me like I'm not here.
We are the Ladies of Germany, and we do not celebrate Christmas unless we want to.
I am very blonde.
Help me remind me. So Lonnie Anderson was WKRP, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Or even better, she was the one with Linda Carter, your other favorite, where they were detectives for a year, remember? And they were like, oh my God, let's sneak into that rich person's apartment. And then he would close the door and they put the credit card in so he couldn't lock it.
Oh, yes.
What was that called? Ben, we've
talked about that. I love that show.
It was so good.
I remember that detective one, which was, yeah. By the way, also Kim Fields would have been a good choice.
Partners in Crime
would have been great.
One of the best television shows. Only a season, as I recall. But God, what a show!
I remember that she was an investigator. Yeah,
1984. I was 11 years old.
One of the best television shows.
11 years old. Yeah. I was 11 years old, guys. Just think back. Me looking just like this, exactly the same, with hair and basically everything else is exactly the same. Okay. I just wanted you to picture that. Carry on.
I pictured that. So, okay. So, Lonnie Anderson, Morgan Fairchild. How is Morgan Fairchild famous? I forget what she was on.
Was she on Dynasty? Knott's Landing? Either Knott's Landing, Falcon Crest, Dynasty, or Dallas.
One of them. She was also like, she's been moms on like things like Melrose Place. And like, she's been around. She's arguably one of the people who's had like the biggest career after this, I would say.
Yes. She has worked. And I think that actually, she once was in a TV movie that I loved. It was like a parody of TV movies.
Falcon Crest. Thank you.
So Morgan Fairchild was on some TV, for Fox or something. And it was something like Stay Tuned or I don't remember what it was called, but I absolutely loved it. And I once went to a taping of that 80s show out here. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
It was a spinoff.
How long was that on?
Like a season? 5 episodes, and I went to a taping of it.
I think Partners in Crime actually outlasted that one. Wow.
It probably did. And Morgan Fairchild was a guest star on that 80s show, and so she came into the audience to take questions, and I asked her, I was like, I just like asked her something like, whatever happened to that TV movie? It was great. And she was just very active. She goes, yes. That was a wonderful TV movie. We had a wonderful time doing that. Thank you so much for the question. Okay, who's next?
She doesn't remember it at all. She doesn't remember it at all.
It was a wonderful, wonderful day.
Wonderful day.
Wonderful way of play of filming.
Pretty good in this movie. Okay, then there's Linda Gray.
She was good. I was going to say, she's the best thing, I think. Donna Mills, I think, did great, too. Donna Mills came in with kind of a weird accent she's doing. I'm not really sure, but Morgan Wolf.
With lots of the, I think some of it was dental work. Donna Mills kind of had a Jodie Foster thing going the whole time.
I really thought it was Anne Margaret at first. I'm not even joking.
Yeah, it was very Anne Margaret.
I'm real. Her eyeshadow is so terrible. Like they actually, like it actually looks like when I used to do, Ronnie too can, like when I used to do opera in college and the way people, you know how someone in community theater or in opera would do their makeup so heavy handed for an audience of 200 because they're doing opera. They like
to put space.
Yes.
Remember the aging makeup?
That's my favorite.
Yes. When people
take an eyeliner and they put like big lines on their face. They're like, I'm old now.
And apparently she wants to make her eyes closer together and do a crease. So they literally just like the makeup. The artists didn't even blend. They just drew like blocks above her eyes.
Well, it almost looked like Japanimation. Like it almost made her look animated.
Here's the thing. We're not shaming her. We're shaming the makeup person or whoever's supposed to make this better. Because did you know Donna Mills is 82 years old?
Shut up.
This is nuts. She looks, I mean, listen, they all look amazing, you know, so no one's going to be coming for anybody's looks. We're just saying like the TV makeup, like if you're going to get all, they basically just rented an Airbnb and put a bunch of people in there and they literally were like, let's just make it up. Even the main guy, the young person, didn't have a script. He was writing it as they went. Like, how does that?
I have lots of issues. A live
event with no script.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
It's almost that magical time of year.
Speaking of, what's your favorite Christmas story, Ben?
Hands down, The Grinch.
Same.
It cracks me up that he hates all the merriment.
Right, and he steals everyone's presents.
But then it's like so heartwarming at the end when like the whole town is still singing and he realizes that there's more to Christmas than just gifts.
Oh, I know. It hits me right in the feels.
Best part is, Wondery has a new podcast starring The Grinch. And I think there's someone who wants to tell you more about it, Ronnie.
It's me, the Grand Poobah of Bah Humbug, the OG Green Grump, the Grinch. From Wondery, 'Tis the Grinch Holiday Talk Show is a pathetic attempt by the people of Whoville to use my situation as a teachable moment. So join me, the Grinch. Listen as I launch a campaign against Christmas cheer, grilling celebrity guests like chestnuts on an open fire. Your family will love the show. As you know, I'm famously great with kids. Follow 'Tis the Grinch Holiday Talk Show on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It was there were a lot of
Linda Gray looked the best, and she's the one you can tell who hasn't had any work.
She has.
She's Linda like, Gray. How dare you? I've spent Linda thousands. Gray,
yeah. even if
Linda
she
Gray, by the way, was
looks like she didn't have.
She was recently in Nope. I was like, well, look at you being in a like an actual big movie.
She's
recently.
My favorite of all because I love Dallas so much because I used to watch it with my mama and my aunts.
Well, she was also great in this. I think all the ladies were pretty good in it. I mean, Linda Gray was really funny. I don't remember Linda Gray being that great before. I just remember her being kind of boring. I don't know why. Maybe because she was always
Lonnie Anderson was. Lonnie Anderson had some challenges, I think, with some of her line readings.
Excuse me, I don't want to give away a spoiler, but what she did at the end was bravery, okay? Purple heart worthy.
That was one of the funniest fucking things. I had to pause it and run around the room when it happened.
Okay, wait, may I circle back to something? I mentioned that Morgan Fairchild, I saw her in this TV movie. I've looked it up. The movie was called Based on an Untrue Story, and this is the plot description, okay? Perfume creator Satin Chow. That
I
is her.
She's... I'm done. I already changed the channel. Satin
Chow. Morgan Fairchild. Morgan Fairchild plays Satin Chow. So perfume creator Satin Chow is about to reveal her new designer scent, Puppy, when she is cruelly struck down by a rare condition called anosmia, which robs her of her sense of smell and could even kill her. With time fast running out, she begins a frantic search for the only people who can provide the tissue donations she desperately needs, her long-lost sisters, Corduroy and Velour.
This is the game paradise.
And the other people in this movie are Ricky Lake, Victoria Jackson, Diane Cannon, Dan Hedaya. Like, you can see as a young gay child, while this was a very important movie for me.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I would watch this. Diane Cannon, boy.
Yeah. I love she had to get a tissue replacement for her nose for a movie that took place in the 80s. Like, blatant coke that addiction. And I don't think you're allowed to name yourself Chow, white blonde lady. I mean, what the hell?
I think
Come
that
on,
was
guys.
No. I think that I think she was like she had married into the Chow name. I think if I remember correctly. Okay.
Or is but it spelled remember. Because like it's a puppy thing? So is it spelled
Puppy
Chow? Puppy Chow, right?
That's Chow.
I can't.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
She was adopted.
And then there was like a boy toy in there named Crack. It was good. It was
Crack. Well,
we'll revisit that on another day.
We can revisit that.
TV movies actually were really like fundamental for me. Like Lifetime movies and like Joanna Kearns, those Judith Light movies were so like, titles like She Cried No, A Woman's Burden, Meredith Baxter Burney. I think she's now just Meredith Baxter living her lesbian life.
Well, that was always the thing, right? That was when you referred to a Lifetime movie, it was always like, what is Meredith Baxter Burney in this? I mean, Meredith Baxter Burney was in hundreds of those.
She's
fucking
a
movies.
Fucking goddess. And I she mean, was unbelievable.
Yeah. If I was friends with her and there was a text tone, it would just be fa-donk or whatever that sound is of punching in on the punch in clock. Just that fa-donk. It's me, Meredith. I'm here. Who am I being chased by today? Tom?
What is it? Is it bulimia today? Do I need to start a fire?
Oh, God, I'm supposed to run from a person while I've got bulimia? Come on, guys. You're throwing a lot at me today. All right.
The Betty Broderick movies are like at a class of their own.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those are really, you know, really good.
There was a period of time, I don't know if it was like NBC or if it was Fox or something, but there was a period of time where on Friday nights, one of the networks was airing these like very kitschy, kind of like romance novel TV movies, and I loved them. And
I remember it.
Do you remember those? There was one called The Secrets of Lake Success.
Oh, that sounds so familiar, but I can't remember which one of the big three were doing it. But
well, this one's called The Great Lakes, this soap opera, so that's interesting.
So maybe they're all connected.
Maybe they're referencing that. I think though, like those movies back then, there was a lot of camp, but also, and I think what this movie missed is those movies played it seriously, or they played it. They took it seriously, even though they knew it was camp, because that is camp. Is that the actors think it's almost serious, and this like literally the winking at the camera or mugging to the like breaking the fourth wall.
The little glockenspiel that happened.
Yeah, it just, I felt like this movie would have worked so much better if we, I don't know, believe
it needed more camp.
Yes,
it tried to be campy, but it needed more of, it needed more of the, it needed, well, you know,
let's be honest,
it needed a lot of things. It also needed like a proper script, let's be honest.
Well, it needed bitchiness. I mean, you can get away with a lot, but if you just give us some bitchiness, that's what we're watching it for. We all want to see these divas like being bitchy with each other and dissing each other, and they wouldn't diss each other. Who cast Nicolette Sheridan to be a kind person? I want to meet the fucking person in Hollywood.
She was the heart of gold one.
Yeah.
Who?
Nicolette Sheridan, she's like became famous for playing a Sydney Sheldon vixen and just went completely crazy from there. I mean, Desperate Housewives is probably her most recent huge thing. But come on, don't give me Nicolette and then make her nice.
Nicolette felt actually a little bit like an outlier in this cast. You know, aside from the fact that she's I think she is actually younger. I feel like the vibe of this movie was look at these actresses that are more or less like out of the rotation. And it's not like Nicolette is doing a huge amount of stuff, but I don't know. I feel like even though I guess Desperate Housewives is coming in on 20 years ago at this point, but it feels like it was just yesterday. I feel like Nicolette is like not.
She's out of there.
This movie.
She's a different league. It seems like she's had a career wise. She's had seems like a bigger career after her soap career.
Yeah, I feel like it was that was a role that like maybe we could have given. That would have been a Kim Fields or Jack
Kim
K.
Fields.
Role.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. I love
how I'm speaking very seriously all of a sudden. Guys,
we were very
I know,
sitting.
We're taking this very seriously.
No, but this Jackie movie needed Aaron O'Connell, Ben. That's what it needed. Aaron O'Connell.
Yeah, it really did.
Guy from whatever.
Can we just talk about, I think one of the main issues here, it may have just come from the network or something, is they kept saying, we need more of the romantic young people to get together. So we need more of that. And so they said, so we're going to help the ladies are going to get them together. But like that's truly what kind of destroyed the momentum of the story. And it just, every time we go back to them, I'm like,
I'll tell you what didn't destroy this movie in any way. Leg day, because that guy did not do it.
I thought he was naked typing. I thought that
honestly, that was the best. That was the best part of the movie.
I will say the best thing this movie had is that it was not just a little; it was gratuitous shirtlessness.
Yeah, from him,
and that's why it was unexpected. Right?
Yeah, at least like they did that because you know, speaking of Aaron O'Connell or the other, there's like a quick scene where the shirt's off. They walk into a room, but then they put the shirt on. This guy is just. Right. This was bravery, if you ask me, Ronnie.
Has there been anything less sexy than sexy typing, shirtless typing at a laptop?
Like, also, honestly, fairly inappropriate. You are at work, sir. You've gotten yourself down to underwear.
That's an HR violation.
You call a woman into your office whose name is Nell. I don't know where they got the name of fucking
Hey
in a Wind.
Nell. Hey in a Wind.
Yeah.
Can we not with Nell? I was thinking the same thing. I was like, and there's another reference, like Nell Carter. I mean, granted, they couldn't have cast Nell Carter. You know,
no, she is deceased.
But still. But now,
give me a break.
Loved her so. I went to see her as Miss Hannigan in Annie.
Oh, I bet that has to come
out. That's a really eerily accurate Nell Carter.
I heard she was fantastic in that.
She was pretty good. They were having to RIP. I'm so sorry to tell these stories, but we are telling old diva stories.
Yeah, we are.
They were having to like check her room allegedly back then for like coke and stuff. Like she was a mess while she was doing it, I believe, but she was still so good. I mean, I grew up listening in the same time period of all these ladies. I grew up listening to A Misbehavin', obviously, on
Love
a loop,
it.
And the Hair soundtrack from the movie soundtrack. Oh my god,
she was in
she's
that
like
one,
a
yeah.
lead in that. Yeah, she's like the lead ensemble chick in that. She sings everything. Wow, God, I love you. Anyway, but Jodie Foster now, you know, she couldn't really pull off Aunt Misbehavin', and I don't want her in this movie either.
Jodie Foster. No.
I do like to think of this, though, as like, okay, like the unofficial sequel to the movie Nell, which I never saw, but like I know it was like Jodie Foster was a woman who was like raised in the woods and has like
by
no
trees.
Conception of by trees. And it's like, okay, now she's been rehabilitated to civilization and she's directing a soap reunion.
I thought for me, it kept like I kept blinking and seeing Evan Rachel Wood. Like the whole time, and I did look at this woman, and that's what kind of got me, and that's why I kept thinking at the beginning.
There's a fly crawling on your eyeball.
Yes,
there's a fly crawling on your eyeball.
I don't know.
She was more interesting than she actually was, and it turns out this woman was a child star who was in this.
She was
Taylor Ann Thompson. She was in like lots of little. She was in that movie, The Bucket List, with Jack Nicholson. That was her big role. But the rest of it has been, the rest of it has been her as a child, and that she had like two or three other Lifetime movie credits. So they took a big swing on this woman.
I think she knew someone in production.
You know, I have to say, I did not see the Evan Rachel Wood until she took the hat off, because then she was like a whole new person, and then I was like, okay, now I see it.
Yeah, and she's not like other girls because she got purple hair. And we know what purple hair says, y'all.
Hey, that back home where I'm from, it is. It's a bit. Did you hear about Lynette? She got purple hair. Oh, my God. I hope she's not doing drugs, Darlene.
She's like
I
a
know.
Lady of the 80s putting on a show.
It is a big deal.
Living minute by minute.
And did the hot guy do anything? I don't think he did anything. Because everybody, like...
I didn't look him up. He was so boring.
He's like a model. He's like an Australian actor, soap person. You know,
did he have an accent in the first of the movie? And did it go away as well?
No, it was he had the accent all the way through.
Why, if he's Australian, what's the choice to be British?
Because women love British men.
But why would he not be American?
It is weird. He does play the son of. Oh, it's interesting that he was his character.
I have British.
He was supposed to be.
He
British.
Started off sounding off British. It started off sounding British, but by the end, he was definitely Australian.
Yeah.
Oh, my accents are just so bad. I just kind of mesh. I mean, Below Deck has really killed me. I don't know where anybody's from anymore. I'm just like a Lucky Charms, you know, asking for alms in Oliver Twist. Like
you don't.
But I just mix it all together.
You don't. I see love the idea that Ronnie. You see people.
I love the idea that the soap opera, when it was in its heyday, was like, we need to cast a child for this show. Let's cast an Australian child. And
that's what I was thinking.
Accent.
Yeah. just the work violation issues of having to have an Australian child over here and like to have school. And then he decides to go to American college and meets this. Again, we can probably get into this later. I have so many questions about these two people's backstory.
Yes.
And
he should have a twin brother, by the way. I think we all know he should have a twin brother because, like, the rule of, like, child actors in Hollywood is
yes, you have
only
to
work for so long, so you got to swap in that twin.
That's
you
know? True.
They should have a twin. Did you notice that the guy that played Linda Hamilton's husband?
Linda Gray.
Linda Gray's husband, I'm sorry.
Linda Chris Hamilton, Rackins. Also a great choice.
He's from the boy. He's from the Blue Lagoon movie.
The Blue Lagoon.
Yes.
He was
Wait,
part
who
of my
was it? I thought it was Bruce
the blonde
Davidson.
Guy that played. You thought it was who?
He looked like an alternate David Chokichi. Yeah.
Yeah, but a little more cat-faced.
Blue Lagoon, that was part of my sexual awakening. Yeah. He had
but
sex
not
with
Brooke Shields.
Not Brooke Shields.
I think I think that's very bad now, because didn't Brooke Shields come out and say like that was like totally she was being exploited and stuff?
Yes,
and
she was being exploited.
I don't remember.
Yep.
I will remember say that movie. I was too young, so
I never saw it. But I did see The Secrets of Lake Success, as previously mentioned. And guess who was in The Secrets of Lake Success? Ryan Phillippe.
Is that guy still hot? Let's hook him up. Let me tell you who's hot.
Oh, yes.
Travis Burns, the guy that you were like, oh, he's just a model. He's whatever. He's so basic.
He's hot.
Yeah, if that's basic, I'll fucking buy stock in that. Who sells basic? I love him. He's so cute. I don't even care about
He was cute.
I don't care about missing leg day. I don't do leg day either or upper day. Maybe
he just. I just thought he was boring as an actor. I think he's very hot.
He had a perfect nose. I loved his nose.
Well, he sort of was like a hot version of Penn Badgley. I feel like I feel like it's like the promise of Penn Badgley is finally realized with this guy, Travis Byrne.
The promise.
I always had a thing for Penn Badgley, mostly because of Dan, what's his name?
Oh, I hated Dan. Dan on Gossip Girl. Gossip Girl. God, he's so righteous.
I liked him. I liked him like poetic and like brainy and dreamy. But yeah, that's what happened to me.
I looked him up because I watched all of You. You know that show, You, the stuff where he's a stalker and he just says You. I'm watching you. I'm watching you walk into a store, and then they kind of make him like this romantic, charming, fucking stalker murderer.
It was one of those shows that I watched, and I watched the first season, and I couldn't stop. And by the end of it, I kind of hated myself. But I had to finish it. I had to finish it. And if there's another season, I will watch it.
It's coming. Well, because they're making another season.
Because that's your type of man.
Yeah, you kind of choke me and look at me in the eyes while you're doing it. And if you murder me, that's what happens.
Jake wants to get right to the edge. He wants to feel just a little unsafe.
Yeah, as long as
Ryan
I can
Phillippe
say,
is still cute. Ryan Phillippe still is still cute, and he still makes me feel unsafe. So let's go get him, Jake.
Go get him, Jake. His son is a carbon copy of him. Deacon.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I went to Nashville, and
Ava looks like Reese.
I went to Nashville a couple of weeks, and that whole town is an ode to, well, I mean, Dolly, of course. Everywhere's like, whoa, Dolly do. She would profit. Because like literally everything says her name, but also do you know who's really big there? Her, Reese Witherspoon. Everywhere you go, yes. Like she has a show there, she has stores there, she has. They love their Reese over there. Mm.
Good for her.
I love Biscuit Love. If you don't go to Nashville and don't go to Biscuit Love, you missed out. It's amazing.
Are they a sponsor?
Biscuit Love.
Biscuit You're Love all, is actually.
You always say things like they're a sponsorship. You do it on our pod.
I don't want to shout people out for doing good work.
It makes me furious because...
Oh, please.
That was the original name. Biscuit Love was the original name of the soap within the soap.
You talk so much about gun oil on our show and Pup Mask. And I don't say that you're advertising
But
for
I
them.
Don't try to sell them like you do. You like, go to Biscuit Love. Well, I swear to God, it sounds like you have stock in them.
Speaking of Biscuit Love.
Well, wait, I just want to say, you want to know what you do sell constantly? Dick. Every time we talk to you on the show, I leave like, you know what I should be getting? More dick. Every single time. You are the best advertisement for just going out and getting some dick. I have to say, use coupon code... Reality Gaze for some dick.
Reality Gaze is brought to you by Dick.
So let's start recapping this shit because we're just talking. We're just gabbing and dropping everyone nuts.
It's been 40 minutes.
Making everyone nuts. Anyone who is being made nuts is gone by now. And you know what? Good riddance. Hi, the rest of you.
Do bingo cards of us now, and one bingo square would be they talk for 45 minutes and say
without
so that's
talking
the
about
first
the show.
2 minutes of the movie.
Yes.
Listen, we've never started the movie within the first episode of a Christmas.
Ever.
And we are kind of at the end of this one. So
and I have to say, this preamble has greater stakes than the movie itself.
Exactly. It does. Yes,
it does.
So, the song that we've been singing that's still in my head, it's a great song, but little known fact, this movie starts with a different song that's also pretty good. Did you guys write down?
We're going to start that with the new episode. Everyone, thank you so much for listening to episode one of our Christmas recap. We're not breaking tradition. We will be back tomorrow with episode two. You want these videos? Come find them on either one of our Patreons. Thank you so much for being here. We love you guys.
Bye. Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
She's the wind beneath our Jennifer Wing.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches.
bitches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch. It's Victoria Kotchett.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.